It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's a magic marker. A felt pen.
It's a mistake.
It's a trap.
It's a fucking comedy.
It's quiet. Maybe too quiet.
It's all happening.
It's a good day to die.
It's a good day to talk about movies.
Welcome back. It is a good day to talk about Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. I am your host, Duncan. Joining me, as always, is Gardner.
Welcome, welcome back, folks.
And joining us today are a couple of special guests, who our listeners will remember from our episode last week on Moon Knight. We have with us today, Jalen.
Hey, y'all.
Mac.
Hey, what's up?
And Chris.
How we doing?
And we are very excited to announce that this group will be a recurring team going forward, reviewing all new Marvel shows and movies. We started with Moon Knight, and now we're going to Doctor Strange 2. And anytime a new Marvel property comes out, we'll be reviewing it. You guys excited about that?
Yep.
I'm definitely looking forward to discussing all of the new Marvel stuff with this great group of folks.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited to get into the thick of it.
Yeah, I'm super, super pumped.
So, like I said, anytime a new property comes out, we'll be reviewing it. But that's not all. We're also going to be going through the history of the MCU, movie by movie, reviewing each one. So, stay tuned for those episodes with this squad. I know we said we're going to be reviewing all the new MCU shows and movies, but we also might throw in some other shows and movies from DC and other superhero properties like Invincible Season 2 and The Boys Season 3 when they come out. So if you're into superhero content, these episodes will be for you, and they will be releasing every Tuesday going forward. This is just going to be the regular bonus episode this week, so it's releasing on Wednesday, but going forward, it will be releasing on Tuesdays on top of the regular bonus episode, which releases on Wednesday or Thursday. So we have the Marvel bonus episodes every Tuesday, but on top of that, here at GDT, we have weekly episodes every Monday, Friday, and Wednesday or Thursday. On Monday, we have a bonus mini-series where we are discussing nostalgia, memories of tomorrow, the new short film that we here on GDT are working on creating. We have different guests who are working on the movie on every week, and those episodes are hosted by Nyatafa. On Wednesday or Thursday, we have another bonus episode that we release, where we discuss a new movie, a new TV show, or something else relevant. Those episodes are hosted by me and Gardner, and we have guests on to talk about what they're watching. On Fridays, we have our full-length episodes, where Gardner and I have a guest on, usually for an interview, where we often have someone on who works in the filmmaking industry. Those episodes are great and very insightful, as we get to talk to independent filmmakers about what they're working on, and their filmmaking process. On top of all of that, each month we have a special Sunday Movie Squad episode where hosts Kari, John, and I talk about movies with original screenplays. So stay tuned for all of those future episodes. This is our bonus episode this week. On Friday, we have an interview with screenwriter Nick Asunto, and on Monday, we continue our discussion of nostalgia. Last week, we had a full-length episode where we interviewed the cast of the new Australian independent film, Dreams of Paper and Ink, as well as a bonus episode where we discuss Moon Knight Season 1. So if you missed those, check them out. So today we are discussing the new MCU movie, Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, the second Doctor Strange movie. I'm not going to go over the whole cast, but Doctor Strange is played by Benedict Cumberbatch, and the film was directed by Sam Raimi, who is known for the Evil Dead franchise, as well as the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man films, among other things. Before we go any further, a quick spoiler warning. This discussion will contain spoilers for Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. Spoilers for the whole movie, everything that happens, who shows up, what goes down, and maybe spoilers for other things in the MCU as well, like WandaVision and other movies slash shows. So if you're not all the way up to date and you're worried about anything being spoiled, all of the Marvel Cinematic Universe is fair game in this discussion. So, spoilers for everything MCU, including Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. If you don't want anything spoiled, turn this off now and get back to us once you're caught up on everything. And for everyone else, that was your spoiler warning. Now, let's get into our opening thoughts. Jalen, we'll start with you. What are your broad initial thoughts on Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness?
So I definitely enjoyed the movie. The only thing that I did not like, or I guess I had too many high expectations based off the trailer, was the storyline. And I can see how I wish they would have traveled the multiverse a little bit more and a couple more cameos than just the Illuminati.
All right, all right. Mac, what are your initial thoughts?
I was so incredibly excited for this movie. Jalen and I had been stoked to see it for a really long time now. I remember we bought our tickets like a month ago, like as soon as we could. And I left incredibly whelmed. It was a whelming experience. I definitely was not overwhelmed, not underwhelmed, but whelmed is like the perfect word to embody how I felt. It just felt really all over the place. And I know it's the Multiverse of Madness, so there's going to be a bit of madness and kind of chaos throughout it, but it just didn't hit like I was expecting it to. And maybe this is my fault for assuming, but the trailer was pretty misleading for me in a lot of ways, and it did not go in the direction that I was expecting it to, in a bad way. You know, I know that trailers aren't supposed to give everything away, like that's the point of it, is to like leave you wanting more so you'll go see the movie, but it wasn't what I was envisioning at all. That's not to take away from a lot of the good parts that I did love about it, but it just wasn't the movie for me this time, unfortunately.
That's fair. Chris, what about you? What did you think about Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness?
Yeah, I shared in their surprise, in Jalen and Max's surprise with the direction of the movie. But for me, it was definitely in the positive direction. The trailers kind of made me think that the villain they were setting up and some of the conflicts they were going to go with were a lot different than what actually played out in the movie. I thought tonally, it was a great, it was very good. I thought the brutality of Wanda in particular was very well portrayed by Elizabeth Olsen. I thought kind of like they said, which could potentially be a negative for the movie, like from my perspective, was that like Mac and Jalen said, it was all over the place. I think spatially in terms of the places they visited within the movie, but I don't think it detracted from the narrative. It felt very straightforward and like they had done a good job of like picking the direction they wanted to go. And I thought it was very, very well executed. I thought Sam Raimi, as bringing in the horror elements that he's known for, was very effective at doing that. I thought, you know, overall, I was really impressed and it shocked me. Honestly, I didn't expect to like it as much as I did, but I enjoyed it a lot.
Hell yeah. All right. Gardner, what about you?
Yeah, I'm somewhere in the midst of all you guys so far. I wasn't like super disappointed or anything by it. I just was hoping for a little more. I thought, and this is not an original thought, this is something I've seen other people say, but like there are parts of this that they let Raimi direct. And there's other parts that feel like Marvel Studios saying, okay, we have to do like this, this, and this. And I thought the parts that were pure Raimi, I was so into. I loved the silliness. I loved the violence, like the real, like, not quite gore, but I mean, this is like the goriest Marvel movie to date. I can imagine if you took like an 8-year-old to see this, they'd probably leave the theater crying. It was a lot. And I really appreciated that it did try some new stuff. I just wish that it had gone even further. It felt like it was a little too constrained for me. And I had trouble getting into it the first act. I thought the first act was a little slapdash. I thought I was like, it didn't feel like it hit its rhythm until somewhere in the second act. And then I loved the third act. I thought the third act was awesome. But I think overall, it's a fairly inconsistent movie. Very entertaining. I'm looking forward to seeing it again, preferably in a theater. I think that would be the way to watch it. But yeah, just kind of a mixed bag for me overall.
Yeah, I thought that it was inventive as compared to other Marvel movies. So that did it for me. I definitely saw the Raimi aspects of it, like you were saying, Gardner, and like other people have said. I think I was talking to you about it, Gardner, before recording, and I said that people are going to complain and say that it's still cookie cutter Marvel, which in certain aspects, I think it is, for sure, the story being one of them. Another unoriginal thought is that they let him direct certain aspects of it, but he had no control over the story, it felt like, which I can say I probably agree with. But I think that complaint that I'm foreseeing, that people are going to still say that it doesn't really have enough of his fingerprint on it, isn't fair, because there's absolutely portions of this movie and aspects of this movie that you can tell are clearly him. So I think that is unfair, and I do think that a lot of people and most people are acknowledging that that's true, even if there are some caveats when you say that, because there's obviously still things that he had to do, he was told to do, and stuff like that. And the story suffers for it. I think also people were let down because of what Marvel has been, and it's been all about the team-ups and stuff like that, and obviously this movie wasn't. And when you hear Multiverse of Madness is the next movie after you've just seen Doctor Strange in the most recent MCU movie open up the multiverse, where you got arguably the coolest cameos that we've gotten so far in the MCU, if you're a hardcore MCU fan, you're probably going to be expecting more when you hear about this movie. And then I guess I didn't really see the trailer, so I don't know what it was pitching you, but maybe it was pitching more of a multiverse. I know I did see like the original Super Bowl trailer, which they showed that Professor X was in it. That was so stupid. I don't understand that whatsoever. Because then he comes on screen, and I was like, and there were like people were cheering, and I was like, we knew this was happening. Why are we cheering for this? It's like cheering when Wong comes on screen, which I love that he got a cheer because there was like little kids who were cheering for him, and I was like, okay, cool. Like the kids are fucking with him because I love that character. But it's again, it's like, this is a Doctor Strange movie. Did you think Wong was not going to be in the movie? Why are we cheering for him? It was like, it's almost like people are like primed to cheer for everything now on the opening night, which I'm not one of the people who have a problem with that, because I think that's opening night. Like maybe a week later, let people watch the fucking movie without screaming and everything about it. But opening night, the whole first weekend, I think is fair game to be pretty much as loud as you want when you're getting excited about it. But it's a little bit of a digression. My point is, people were, I guess, expecting more. And I think that my complaint in that aspect would be that they just didn't play with the multiverse that much. We got to see about 4 or 5, I think it was. And we fell through a couple, and those were the coolest parts for me. Like when you see the dinosaurs and stuff like that, and when they turn into colors, and when you see the one that's like the world if, you know, that meme where it's like the world if XYZ didn't exist, and it's like the futuristic like landscape. There was one where it was like very futuristic, as if like the world had like really progressed, advanced, and I like that. I wanted to see more about that. Even the one that they were in seemed like, you know, there was like grass everywhere. There was like leaves, but I don't know, growing out of the buildings and stuff like that. So they seemed like they were a little more like futuristic than we were. But I wish we got to see more of that. I get that complaint of it, but overall, I do think that this sticks out in the MCU for its direction, for its visuals. And like, they actually did stuff, interesting stuff with the Doctor Strange stuff, which I also think the first one did. I've seen the complaint that this is like one of the first times that people are playing with the powers in a fun way. I think the first Doctor Strange did a great job with the visuals as well. And this one didn't really do like the folding on itself Inception style visuals as much. It did other stuff, but inventive in that way, I think. And I enjoyed it. Overall, I left the movie theater happier than I thought I was going to be. And maybe that's part to do with the fact that I was warned like only the Illuminati is going to be in it. And so I knew that there wasn't going to be anything crazy cameo wise. So because of that, I guess maybe I was like, I mean, I would have liked to see more. I mean, it's a multiverse of madness. I would have liked to see a couple more cameos. Not in the sense that I need cameos in every movie, but I mean, it's Marvel and it's the multiverse. Like, I don't know. I was even like, I pitched Miles Morales being in this movie earlier when we did the Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse episode. And I thought that would have been really cool. Or I just thought it was a good way to actually introduce to our universe either the Fantastic Four or the X-Men. I thought that would be a good way. And I thought they were doing it in WandaVision too. And they each time they blueballed me with one of the X-Men, it's like, just give me them in this universe. And I know they're getting there. And I guess they have to like figure out all the casting and whatnot. And a lot probably goes into that. Who's going to stick around? Who's not? Most people probably aren't going to stick around, I would assume. But I don't know. I was expecting more in that. Or not expecting more, but I would have liked more. But I knew it wasn't going to happen. So I think that tempered my expectations. And I really came out of it happier than I expected to. And happy with... I was expecting Raimi to not really have much imprint on the movie at all, to be honest. I didn't think they were going to give him anything. And like, starting from the beginning in that first monster fight, when he flips over and you see all the tentacles and stuff, I actually saw it once in 3D once not in 3D. And that was one of the one shots where I was like, okay, 3D, I don't absolutely hate you right now. Because it was really cool when he flipped over and she was underneath him and like all those tentacles were showing. I loved it. So very cool. But we can get into that opening fight and the beginning of the movie now. So let's start off with the actual opening, because before we get to that fight, we have a dream from Doctor Strange where he sees an alternate version of him with a ponytail running in what we find out later to be an in-between universes space. And he watches himself get killed while actually trying to suck the powers out of his friend. And he was going to kill his friend, America Chavez, so that the monster couldn't get her powers. But the monster killed him first and she escaped. And then he wakes up as he dies. And so then we get him going to a wedding, which we find out is Christine getting married. And at the wedding, where he's kind of trying to tell her how he feels about her, there's an attack and it's a monster, and it's that tentacle monster that I was referencing. And Doctor Strange goes to try to save the town, the city, New York, from the monster. And he notices America running around, the girl from his dream. And so after he defeats the monster, he meets up with her and is like, what the fuck is going on? I dreamt about you last night. This is bothering me. And so if you guys want to jump in and talk about this opening fight and the setup of the movie so far, what are we thinking?
At this point in the movie, I was not into it. I was not sold. I was like, this is weird tonally. I feel like they're throwing too much at us at once. And like I said, I felt like the first act was a little over the place and it took me a while to get into it. And I don't know if it's expectations or what, because like you, Duncan, I didn't really watch a lot of the trailers and it just felt like a really weird way to start the movie. I wanted something more based in, and I get, you know, you have to set up, I think for everything that comes later, it does a good job of setting that up. But I don't know if it was the theater I was watching it in. I remember thinking like the sound mixing was weird and like the dialogue and the everything was like super loud compared to the music. I don't know. There were just little like bits of things that kind of nagged at me that kind of pulled me out of getting into this movie in this first act. It looked great. I thought it looked fantastic, but I didn't have that emotional investment yet to jump right into a scene like this.
Well, for the first scene, I kind of enjoyed it. It kind of like pulled me in and basically like I'm just watching a movie and I'm like, I kind of want more. So I guess I think it was like a good opening scene, like basically like presenting what the stakes are at the moment and then basically just getting right into it at the beginning instead of like waiting for a lot of buildup. And that's what I liked about that. Just go ahead and get into the action and cool visuals and everything.
Yeah, I thought the first scene was like specifically with America Chavez, because I didn't know who that was before this. So I thought it was fine. It was a fine way to introduce her. But I am with Gardner, definitely. I think the first, probably like the first 40 minutes of it, I was like kind of, I wasn't sure how I felt about it, especially specifically that fight with the demon and then the fight with the octopus in New York. I thought it was a missed opportunity for that to be a dream within a dream. When he wakes up from the dream with the fight with Chavez, and then you're like, okay. And then he's talking to Wes, the other surgeon from the first movie, and Christine at the wedding. I was thinking maybe they were going to talk a little bit more. He was going to have to confront, you know what I mean, his kind of arrogant nature, which he does in the first film, but it felt like they kind of just left that on the floor in this one. And it didn't, like all of the events, I don't feel like I know more about Doctor Strange or that the character grew from the events of this movie, which was kind of a missed opportunity. Because, I mean, thinking about it, well, I guess we can talk more about that when we get later down the line, but I'll leave it there right now, which is that I don't feel like Doctor Strange himself grew much, or like there was an explanation for as to like why he was different. And I thought, yeah, I wasn't a fan of the octopus fight scene, the octopus demon thing. I thought that was a little bit kind of just, it felt like Avengers Age of Ultron. The beginning, you know, that fight where they do the team up and there's no stakes. Like, you know, no one is going to be hurt. It's only there because they want to show how cool, you know, let's look at the new powers that Doctor Strange is going to be able to show off. But I didn't hate it.
You know what it reminded me of? The Book of Boba Fett. It reminded me of the finale of that show where you've got this like action sequence going on, and on paper, I bet it like looked like fantastic and whatever, but like there's just moments where the pacing is slightly off and it just pulls you out of it. And like you said, Chris, I wanted more character stuff to set up the character arcs in this movie with Steven. I didn't think that the unrequited love, he's not over his ex and she's getting married, that just feels overdone. I mean, I've seen the Spider-Man trilogy, you know, I know that Peter goes through like this exact same thing with Mary Jane. And I don't know if they picked, you know, there's a lot of like Raimi tropes things here in this movie. I just felt that it was a little bit by the numbers off the top.
I also kind of want to jump in and add that I agree with you, Gardner. I do think that it set up the rest of the film really well, but some of my like qualms with it is actually like the very beginning when they're in the dream. I think it would have been really cool if we actually didn't have that scene and it was either him going to the wedding or at his sadness after the wedding, just because I don't really think the wedding actually did much for us, because we already know that he's sad that he missed an opportunity with her, right? And I think it would have been really cool, because kind of referencing my statement about the trailer, which I guess I should stop referring to because I already said that I shouldn't rely on trailers to give me the full story. But he has a line in the trailer where he's like, I keep having this recurring dream. And I think it would have been really cool if his recurring dream is America Chavez calling to him. And all he hears is like this voice, because we find out that she's the only one in the multiverse. There's not different versions of her. So she's the only one that could be calling out to him for help. And I think she does just happen to fall into his universe. It's not like she like planned that, because she has no control over her powers. But I think it would have been cool if that would have been his recurring dream and he's seeing like different versions of himself interacting with her or something. I don't know. But I think that my vision of what it could have happened and what didn't happen are kind of colliding with each other. So not that I think I can make a better movie, but I don't know. I think it could have been a little bit better.
We got an incursion going on in Mac's brain. So, I mean, yeah, I mentioned it, but I did enjoy the actual fight itself. Like, I know Chris and Gardner were both saying that you didn't like this first part of it as opposed to other parts, but I think that it starts getting weak when they go to Wanda for a stretch. But for me, it works up to the end of that fight, at least, because I like the visuals in the fight, honestly. Like I'm saying, I like the creature in it, so it works for me in that aspect. And like a lot of times, Marvel fights don't draw my interest that much. I'm like more there just to see what happens in the story, because I know what's going to happen in most of the fights, I feel like. And they're not that visually stunning. Like, there is some cool things, and I think they used to maybe do some more stuff, and they kind of fell away from it. But this, for me, was one that stuck out as, like, a Raimi thing and also a fight that I liked. So, from here, he meets up with America, and she tells him her story about how that wasn't a dream, that was a different universe. And she's really upset because, like, he keeps calling it a dream, and you can tell she's like, no, that happened to me. Like, I was about to get killed, and my friend was killed in front of me, and he was the one killing me, as you know. So I got that, and I actually liked that emotional response. I thought that the actor who played America Chavez did a great job. So I was actually, like, especially on the second watch, I was noticing that I really did like her performance in it. But so she explains to him, he's, like, not really buying it. And at the end of it, he's, like, they kind of do buy it. And then they're like, all right, this isn't sorcery, this is witchcraft. And there was that moment, like, do we know anyone that knows witchcraft? And I was like, all right, this is very, like, written into the movie. Like, yeah, we do. And we're all aware of it. Can we just get to Wanda already? Like, we know she's in it. Like, it's so obvious where we're going. I don't know. It felt, like, very stilted with that line to me in general. And there was a couple of lines that, in particular, stood out. And here he goes there, and I don't know, I was fooled by her magic at first. I did like the cut as well to the WandaVision theme song and her tucking the kids in first and then her waking up from a dream, which is like playing with the themes of the movie and like goes to tell you further on, like, that's, she's actually looking at a real version of her. So that's interesting to me. I like that. And then I was fooled. I thought that she was really, you know, healing herself and like actually planted those trees and whatnot, which is maybe dumb since we saw her with the book at the end of WandaVision, but I was buying her spiel to Doctor Strange, and I wasn't necessarily like going into it thinking she's the villain. So I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts on up to here where we get Wanda and then the introduction of her as the villain, where she gives him the ultimatum, give me the child, or it won't be Wanda who comes to Kamar-Taj. It will be the Scarlet Witch. So he gets the ultimatum and he returns to let Wong and the boys know. So what are your guys' thoughts up to here now? I guess this is where it starts getting weak for me, especially we'll get into the actual fight at Kamar-Taj, but that is a weak aspect of it as well, because for me, I felt like Doctor Strange didn't really do anything there, and a lot of people got murdered. So we can actually talk about that fight as well, if you guys want to give your thoughts on the Wanda aspect of it, the introduction of Wanda, and then her first attack on Kamar-Taj.
I think one of my favorite parts of the entire film, because I don't want to rag on it too much, because like there were aspects that I enjoyed of it, but Elizabeth Olsen absolutely killed her character. I thought she did a phenomenal job. But my only complaint about that scene, or like one of my complaints about this scene where we're going to see her for the first time with Doctor Strange, is it just felt really, really short. Like their whole interaction was very quick, and all of a sudden we're finding out that she's the bad guy, and like everything that happened from WandaVision just kind of got thrown out the door. All that kind of character development that we saw from that show, it was like what has transpired. And then we saw her with the Darkhold at the very end of the show, but it's like what transpired between that and this for things to have taken such a drastic turn. But I always love when people give away their like charade, and she accidentally gave away that she was the one behind everything when she used America's name. I love things when that happened. Like you're like, oh, okay, so you're actually the one behind everything. That's like a little something that I love when I pops up in movies. But yeah, and then the fight, I thought it was very visually pleasing. I loved when the smoke billowed over the Kamar-Taj. I thought it was gorgeous. All the visuals there when Wanda comes out of it, I thought it was really cool. But I did think the fight was a bit weak on the outside, but I loved when they got inside and you get the creepy aspect of who she is as Scarlet Witch. I thought that was really, really eerie, and I did love that part. It actually spooked me. There were several moments in the movie where I actually had like jump scares, and I was like, oh shit, like I'm a little spooked. But overall, I thought she played a phenomenal character.
Yeah, those are the moments where you're like, oh, that's why they got Raimi for this. Evil Dead, they're like, oh, we got the horror guy, like the B-movie horror guy. And this movie does have such a B-movie kind of camp feel to it. It's still, you know, a multi-million, 200 plus million dollar movie in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but it's got that spin on it. But I think, Mac, you brought up a good point where it's like that scene went by too fast. I couldn't put my finger on it, but I think that is my biggest issue with like the first act and in the first little bit of the second act is the pacing. It feels like we're kind of rushing through story beats at times instead of letting them breathe. But when we get to those good moments, like them running away from Wanda when they're in the annals of Kamar-Taj, I mean, those are great moments. I just wish that they were built up to a little more, because I mean, that was the kind of shit in the movie that had me fucking excited.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on that. So I definitely can see how it seemed a little bit rushed. I wish there was a like some sort of fight, or Doctor Strange tried to do something when she first revealed America's name. When he didn't even mention her name, he should have at least took some type of action. So I wish I did get to see a little scuffle or fight between them. And yeah, it did seem like he barely did anything during that whole fight when she came for America. Well, when the Scarlet Witch came for America. And I did like the horror aspect of it. I think my favorite scene was when she was climbing out of the reflection. Like that was literally like, I got chills watching that. But that was definitely like my favorite horror part of that.
Yeah. So this is, yeah, this, when I was very shocked to see that she was the villain, like I said earlier, like when they, because I thought Mordu was for sure, when I saw him in the trailers, I was like, okay, cool. They're going to go with, you know, the kind of yin and yang of Doctor Strange being like super willing to mess with reality to save the day. And Mordu's like believing reality is like sanctified and all this stuff. And then her, I didn't watch WandaVision that much. So Mac, like to your point about how it kind of threw all of it out of the window, I watched like most of the end and I felt like I didn't walk away from that thinking that Wanda had like overcome, especially her attachment to her children. I thought that was a very rational drive for them to use for her becoming the villain, because like that is, you know, a mother's love is like is without parallel in terms of like forces for a character. So I think that was it was believable for me, but I think I need to rewatch that and then rewatch this movie as well to get a better idea of like of whether it was rushed, because it didn't feel, you know, too bad for me. Like it felt believable, kind of the progression of things. And this is where I really started to appreciate, because you got to think how powerful the Scarlet Witch like truly is. You know what I mean? Like we're talking about how Doctor Strange didn't try to step to her when he finds out that she is kind of giving him this ultimatum. And it's like, there's not much that Doctor Strange could do in the face of, she's on par with like Jean Grey's Dark Phoenix in terms of sheer, you know, reality altering capabilities. And so I thought they did a really good job, especially with the fight where you guys might've seen weaknesses. I saw them showing that the full, you know, with the full might of Carmitage on display, like she still is just like, I'm going to murder all of you if you try to get in my way. And then the horror elements coming in when they go into the temple was very cool. Yeah. I mean, like Jalen, I was worried, like I didn't like how America looked into the puddle. I was like, yo, get rid of that reflection. Like, why would you stop and look into this puddle? Like y'all have been given a goal. Why are you waiting? What are you doing? So that kind of threw me for a loop, but I thought it was very cool. And I like how even the characters' reactions to news that the Scarlet Witch was on the way, it was like, yo, Scarlet Witch is coming. Everybody, you know, hide your kids, hide your wife type vibes. It's like, yo, I am worried, dog. She said she knows where we're at. But yeah, I thought it was very well done. And I really liked, kind of like Gardner said, I thought that it was true that she had grown from the events. But then when, you know, we find out that she didn't, I was like, okay, let's see what's about to happen. So I loved it.
Yeah, I guess my complaint for the fight was more that I felt like he could, because he knows that he is not as powerful as her and that she can bend reality. Like he says that later on, like that she's coming to the universe to rip it apart atom by atom. And he understands that, and other people don't. So he gets that, and I'm not saying he should have gone toe-to-toe with her, because I think that is a stupid argument if someone's going to make that. But I guess my concern was that so many people died that are like supposed to be these, I don't know, I mean, they're not like all powerful or anything, but they're definitely like someone that he should care about, right? They're these warriors that are on his side that are being trained in Carmitage. They're like people that he should like care about ostensibly, and he didn't seem to like try to portal any of them away, for example, or anything. I don't know. It feels like him and Wong, as like the two strongest there, should be doing more than just protecting America, in my opinion. That was more my complaint, but it's a minor one. It's not anything. It's just kind of, for me, it was a lot of loss. It's hard for me to look at it as a win in a movie a lot of times when there's so much death in it. Like this movie, at the end of the day, it's like, you guys lost a lot in this fight. And other universes lost a lot too. And it's like, there was a whole other universe, and maybe two universes, that there was an incursion that happened on, which we might be fixing in the post-credit scenes. So that might be the incursion that they're going to fix. So maybe that will get fixed, and that would be something that would ease my pain a little bit, because it is a struggle for me. Like, even in the Star Wars movies, when they're blowing up entire planets and stuff like that, it's like, all right, the good guys won, but a whole planet of people. Like, if the movie was set on that planet, the good guys did not win, actually. So, for me, that was my complaint there. I did absolutely love the water stuff. And when she was in the, when, like, the shards came out at her face, too, and then she started using the reflections, loved that entire aspect, very Raimi, like you guys were saying. So, for sure, I'm agreeing with you on that. And here is where America accidentally sends them to another universe. And this is like one of the times where we get to see in between the jump from universe to universe. You see the universes in between. And this is like one of those aspects where it's like, give me more of that. Give me more of that. It's like, it's the multiverse of madness. Like, this didn't get that mad. You know, it was like, again, we jumped from like five different ones and you kind of showed me it. But like we were saying earlier, I think it might have been Mac that mentioned it. The script maybe was a little madness. But was the actual content of the movie that crazy, you know? Did we delve into as much of the madness as we could have when it comes to a multiverse? I agree with that aspect of it.
I'm with you, Duncan. I wanted the whole movie to be like those transition scenes between universes. I wanted more scenes like the music note fight. I wanted it to go completely off the wall bonkers. And there's moments where it does, but then it's reined back in for more generic superhero movie kind of stuff. And that's where I find it to be a mixed bag, because some of that stuff is like still pretty good. I just wanted something a little different. And maybe I'll feel differently about it when I rewatch it, because I won't have these preconceived expectations. But yeah, like you said, give me more of that.
Yeah, I was going to jump in and say I agreed with you about kind of the missed opportunity aspect of this part of it. Like I was thinking earlier when you were talking about where they end up, we're talking about Madness and the biggest difference that they settle for in the universe, you know, in the universe that they land in is like opposite traffic signs. You know what I mean? Like that's as stark as the differences get when they go through all of these insane realities where you're like, oh my gosh, what if they land in this one or that one, you know, with the dinosaurs. So it felt like that was a missed opportunity for added suspense and drama. You know what I mean? Like the reality that they land in is safe besides knowing green from red. So it felt like that could have been, you know what I mean? Like another element where like, not only are they, cause that is where it drags for me also. Like the beginning, the introduction, like the necessary, you know, narrative and setting up the remainder of the movie. And then this part where he and America talk, I don't even remember what they talked about kind of. And also I feel like, I don't know if this is the right part. I think it's not, but where they talk about America's backstory and like how she accidentally transports away her parents. And then they never revisit that again for the, you know, remainder of the movie. That felt strange. So I felt like this was definitely a place where it could have been, you know, gotten a little crazier. And Sam Raimi's cameo, I was like, I could have done without, but it was fine.
You mean Bruce Campbell?
I was like, did I miss Sam Raimi in the movie? I thought maybe you were talking about Bruce Campbell.
Yeah, Bruce Campbell, not Sam Raimi at all.
I guess it's like his go-to though, right? He always has him cameoing in his stuff. So I guess you're right. It is his like staple.
Yeah, he lives vicariously on screen through Bruce Campbell.
Yeah. So I will say that when you're saying that they never come back to the issue about like her parents, right? Which I think we'll note that it's two mothers, which, you know, is Marvel trying to take steps in the right direction, if, you know, baby steps. I think Saudi Arabia banned it because of that line. So I'm not sure if other countries have as well, but I'm sorry if I'm saying the wrong country. I think it was Saudi Arabia that banned it. But I think that I have to agree with you on that. As much as I did enjoy this movie more than it sounds like some of you guys and more than I expected to, I did find that weird, especially with the line later on where he's like, even that led you to this moment. And it's like, well, did she want to be in this moment? I think it would have been better if she just stayed with her parents and never got chased down by the evil witch and never even knew that she had the power in the first place. Right? Like, even that led you to this moment. Who the fuck says I want to be here, bro? Like, this is not a good moment to be in. I'm actually being hunted down by a murderous, all-powerful being right now. So I didn't buy that line, that kind of everything happens for a reason, because I don't really necessarily subscribe to that in real life either, I don't think. You know, I think that bad things happen and there's no explanation for it sometimes, but I don't fault anyone who takes the point of view that, you know, even the bad things, there's a reason behind it. I think that's a comforting and maybe correct point of view, but it's not necessarily my point of view. So I might be being biased on that line there, but for me, I agree with you, Chris, where it was like they never really talked about it or tried to bring them back, for example, which maybe is a sequel or her own spin-off type deal storyline. Because like if they were going to give her own show, for example, or her own movie, that would be a good plot line, her searching for her parents. Right. And maybe we get more multiverses there. Like maybe we get actual jumping across. We get some madness maybe. But I totally agree with you, Chris, that they could have done more with that. And I do think that, again, like that line later on makes it even weirder for me, because I almost wish they wouldn't have even said anything, because for me, it's like that's not a good explanation for her jumping. And I think the movie's trying to tell you that he's right, because I know, Mac, you said like you don't necessarily believe that he's right there, that she is necessarily controlling subconsciously where she wants to go, because you're like, you know, you don't think that she ended up in his universe on purpose. And he's kind of saying that each time she was doing it on purpose. And I think the movie's trying to pitch that idea to you as well. And I don't know. I think that maybe I'm agreeing with the two of you on that. That's a little weak aspect of it. But from here, we do get them in a new universe. And this is going to be the universe where we spend a good amount of time. And this is the universe where we're going to meet the Christine that we spend the rest of the movie with, where she is a scientist, a very well-known scientist, I would assume. Like, I don't know what the word is for it, but she's like a, I don't want to say like better than other scientists, but she's well
renowned.
Renowned is the word I'm looking for, because she's naming all the multiverses and she's like the one who like figured a lot of it out. It seems like she's explaining it. I don't know exactly what her exposition is to the T, but he goes looking for himself, or the two of them, him and America, go looking for him in that universe, because the narcissist he is like, well, who could figure this out? Me, right? It's like no one else could be the solution to this, not like other people that helped you out in the path, but you. So he's dead, we find out, and he's brought in by who you thought was going to be CB, the villain, Mordu, into the Illuminati's place, and then he's drugged with a T and put into a box. And there he's trying to use his powers, he can't, and he is then apprehended by Mordu, who brings him to the Illuminati, where he's going to be judged. And that's where we get our cameos, the one cameos that we get. And we can touch on who the cameos are and this portion of the movie, like up into his judgment right now, until Wanda gets there. We can talk about that right now. I'm just going to start by saying I think John Krasinski is horribly miscast, and they shouldn't let fans dictate. I don't like him as Reed Richards at all. They're like giving into the fans' demands, I think, and I don't like him. I think that they should let the casting department handle that kind of shit, and not like people online who think that him and his wife should play the person and their wife in the movies. But that's just me. Apparently he signed on to actually be the real Reed Richards in our universe, so I'm just gonna say I don't like that. The rest of them are fine. I don't know why they told us that he was gonna be there when I'm talking about Professor X, but I thought it was cool. All the kids loved Captain Britain or whatever, Captain Carter, not Captain Britain, Captain Carter. So that was cool that they all cheered her. They obviously watched the animated series, the What If series. And the others, like, I thought it was actually Black Bolt was pretty cool, or Blackazar, Baltazar, what's this guy, what's, how you doing? But he's apparently like the most powerful one. He went out like a little bitch, but I did think that his outfit was really cool. I liked that. I'm not familiar with him as a character. I think he like is the leader of the Illuminati in some of the comics, but his costumes showed up well on screen.
Didn't they say he was like the king of the Inhumans or something like that?
Yeah, Black Bolt is the king of the Inhumans. They live, yeah, they're on the moon. They're like they did a show. They only did one season and it was horrible. But this is the first. But they did get the actor who played Black Bolt, Anson Mount from Hell on Wheels. If any of you guys have seen that, he's really good. But yeah, he did go out. He went out sad compared to like his abilities in the comics, which are like, kind of godlike almost. And it was weird that he died the way he did.
I kind of like the way he died. Like, I like the whole use of there being no mouth. I think that kind of played into the whole horror aspect that we see. You know, a ton of horror movies are always like shutting eyes or mouths or something. So I thought that was cool. Definitely a different take as a way to kill him, like using his own powers against him by limiting the only way that he can use his powers. And I also agree with you, Duncan. I love John Krasinski, but I did not care for him as Reed Richards. Not a fan of that. He just didn't embody it that well to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to back you up on that too. Not a fan of Krasinski as Mr. Fantastic. It's just, he just doesn't have that. I don't know. There's just something that he's missing that he needs to have to be Reed Richards.
I don't want to sound like an asshole. He's got a dumb guy face. He doesn't look like the smartest guy in the world to me.
It's a good point. Yeah.
You know, and that's probably just mean to people that look like him, I guess. But he doesn't. I mean, he's a handsome man. And he's also famous and rich. So I don't feel too bad about him. He just made a bunch of money during the pandemic selling a show that's like BS. So good for him.
Yeah. He just looks like Jack Ryan. He looks like a brute, not like a genius.
Yeah. Or like, I mean, it's probably because I was so into The Office when it was on air that, like, you know, he was goofy in that show, and he wasn't like, you would never buy a gym as being the smartest guy in the world, for example. And like, so I don't know. So now he looks like Jim. So even with the beard, you know, I mean, I also just don't think he like looks as rugged as he thinks he does with the beard. Like, I don't think he's this like tough guy now that he's got a beard like he thinks he is. I don't know. I'm a hater. I think that he was good on The Office, and like, I don't really want to see him in anything else. I'm just not that interested in his career after that. But I know that, you know, people like his directing. I know, Gardner, you like the first Quiet Place a lot, but I don't think that he's necessarily a bad director. I just, well, you know, wasn't that intrigued with either of the Quiet Places either. So I'm just not a big Krasinski guy over here, and was disappointed to see him there. And like, the crowd loved it, so whatever. It's, I mean, the movies aren't made for just me. So, I mean, if the majority of people are happy with it, then, like, good for them. I do think it's, like, giving in to the fans in a way that's not necessarily the guy you actually want for this role. But we can talk about the rest, like, the other stuff about that, too. I don't want to just sit here bitching, like, about my Krasinski hatings. But there, like, there is more that goes down, right? Like, they get there, and they are drugged and put in the boxes, and then he gets judged. And so, like, it was, like... I mean, what about the? I mean, there's also the other version of Captain Marvel. Did we like that version of her? Like, I mean, again, like, she kind of is supposed to be a little bit more on par with Wanda, I feel like. So if anyone went out like a bitch, I feel like it was her, actually. Because I wasn't saying, like, I actually get, like, I mean, it's not like he could have done anything. Like, she warped his mouth shut and then he screams because he was like, I have no mouth and I'm scared right now. So, like, I mean, like, I get that. So I was being a little tough on Black Bolt, but I do think that, like, here, it's like she lasted as long as Captain Carter. Captain Carter should have gone out in 2 seconds. Like, there should have been no, like I can do this all day. You absolutely cannot do this all day. You can do this for maybe a second, because she should be able to do exactly what she did to Reed Richards to you. There's literally nothing stopping her from doing that to pretty much all of them. But
I do love that they had the line, like, I could do this all day, as like a kudos to our Captain America.
Oh, CB's disgusted.
I was like audibly like, ugh, when they said that. I was like, ugh, oh my God. Yeah, I liked the John Krasinski cameo. I hope he plays Fantastic Four. Screw all you guys. I hope he plays Mr. Fantastic. But yeah, to like, I thought the scene was cool because of how Wanda was able to like exploit all of their weaknesses, or, you know what I mean? Just run through this all-powerful group of, you know, we get Charles Xavier, you know, God-level psychic abilities, God-level mutant, and she just murders him psychically. Then I thought it was weird that I wish the lady, I forget her name, but the lady that played Captain Marvel's counterpart in that universe, I would be fine with her being Captain Marvel in this, like in our movies. I hope that happens. I'm not a huge Brie Larson fan. I like that actress a lot more, actually. And I like Sharon Carter, but the line I was not, I didn't like. But who was the other member? I think it was, there was one other person.
We had Peggy Carter, Mordo. We haven't really talked about Mordo. I mean, he might be the one that you're thinking of. Then we had Blackagar Boltagon, Maria Rambo, Reed Richards, and Professor X.
Yeah, just about Black Bolt's death. Maybe being a little bit too much of a comic nerd, but he's like super disciplined. You know what I mean? The guy's like monk level discipline and stuff. And does, he's telepathic as well. So it was weird that he like would try to scream with no mouth. I mean, but if you didn't have any exposure to the character, which most people don't, it was a cool way. Like, whoever imagined it, you could tell that they had some, like, horror movie experience or whatever. Because, you know, he died. Like, it was very brutal. You know, it was jarring. As someone in the movie there, I was like, oh, shit, you know. And you see the brutality of Wanda and her power as well. So I thought that was cool.
I just loved just the idea of they bring in these cameos. And, you know, you expect it in, like, a Marvel movie. Like, you get a cameo and the audience cheers and everything. And then 10 minutes later, they've all been brutally, horribly murdered. I loved that. I want Marvel to do more risky subversion of expectations shit like that. Like Reed Richards getting turned into spaghetti and Captain Carter bisecting herself with her own shield. That's the kind of stuff that I feel like they don't have to just do like gore and like R-rated like type violence all the time, but to introduce new elements to keep these movies fresh and to subvert your expectations. Have the audience cheering, you know, that they've got these cameos, and then just mercilessly kill them off 10 minutes later is just, I don't know. It just tickles something in the back of my brain where I'm like, fuck yeah, I want more of that kind of shit. I want the world to feel dangerous. And that's a problem with a lot of these Marvel movies, is that like you were saying, Chris, about like the opening fight, like there's no stakes, like you know what's going to happen. In this case, people probably thought these characters were safe, and they absolutely were not. So I loved that aspect of it.
Felt like Invincible, the first episode of Invincible, when they introduced that, like, one of my favorite immediate like scenes in anything I've seen was like when they introduced the Justice League kind of version, and then Omni-Man murders them all. You're like, oh my god, like, you buy in for the rest of the series because you're like, this is clearly, they're gonna do a good job of like changing it up. Because like, I was thinking about that too last night, about how it's gonna be tough for them to do anything novel from here on out, because we've seen so many, they've done so many of these movies that they got to find an you know, a reliable way to continue to break ground. And I think that that was a good instance of it, of them. Cause I did, like you said, Gardner, I thought they were safe. You know, I was like, oh, we've never seen the Illuminati before. Here we go. They're going to be, you know, they'll get in and do their little piece and then they'll get out. And it was like, nope, we're actually going to kill all these characters right now. So.
Yeah. I definitely enjoy that horror aspect of all the, them being brutally murdered. And it kind of displayed like how powerful the Scarlet Witch actually is, taking on five people, like one by one, just knocking them down. And I think like, I like the, when she made Black Bolt's mouth disappear, just saying like, what mouth? It kind of gave me chills listening to that, because like in the comics, when she says like, no more mutants, and like in the, I think it's the House of M. So it kind of reminded me of that, how she can like, been reality just by saying it, like willing it with her mind. And yeah, I wish they put up a little bit more of a fight, because I'm like, I like watching the Marvel movies for like the action a lot, so I wish it was a little bit more of a fair, like go toe-to-toe type of fight. But yeah, and I enjoyed the cameos as well.
Yeah, what the fuck was going on with Mr. Fantastic? They're like, oh yeah, he's the smartest man in the universe, and then he, the only thing he can think to do is like reach toward her. Like, what the fuck was that, dude? That was so weak. Yeah, I'm with you, Jalen. I wish that fight had more going on, and there was a lot of fight scenes in this movie, to the point where there was, I think it was, I don't know which particular fight scene it was, but it was somewhere towards the end of the second act. And I was like, oh my God, do we need to be spending time on this right now? Can we wrap this up? But that one is a scene where I feel like they could have spent more time showing the cooperation of the Illuminati and their intelligence. And they just kind of didn't. They just kind of breezed through it. Again, I love that they all got murdered, but I wish that they had been a little more intelligent about what they were doing.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Like, I just thought about this right then, like how they're so arrogant, thinking that they're all powerful and can take on Wanda. It kind of like plays on Doctor Strange's arrogance arc in the first Doctor Strange. So it kind of like parallels and shows how much he's matured as a sorcerer and not just like jumping into stuff like head on, thinking he can take anybody on. So I like the parallels of that.
That's a great point.
So from here, we have America breaking out of the box and Doctor Strange breaking out of his shackles by coaxing Mordo into attacking him, which is like, dude, I mean, grade level bullying. You got to be able to see through that one, buddy. Like, come on. And very convenient, but whatever. There was a little moment in the fight where they're like hanging both of them from a thing, and like they show like below them, and you think it's like a long drop, and then they fall, and it's like 2 feet, and I fucking cracked up both times, and like no one else was really laughing in the theater, but I was like, oh, I don't know, I felt like it was intentional from Raimi, but I could be wrong. And he bests him, and he gets away, and I do think it's interesting that apparently they didn't have the power reducing shackles on the person who could jump from reality to reality, only on Doctor Strange. I mean, I would definitely also put them on Doctor Strange, but I would have them on both of them. Maybe they only had one pair. They were just working on a prototype, I guess. But I thought that was interesting and convenient that it got her out. But when Wanda kills Professor X, that gives her the time to, America the time to escape with Christine. And then they run into Doctor Strange. There's that little moment of comedy where there's like, he's running down the hall and they're waiting, and then he runs past them and comes back. They meet up. She's like, how could I trust you? It's like, you got kind of just got to. And she brings them to the Book of Vishanti in the space between universes, which is where the first scene takes place. And this is where Wanda catches up with them, and she actually destroys the Book of Vishanti. And she is able to get America, but America is able to get Doctor Strange and Christine into another universe. And Wanda takes America back to the original universe because she's dreamwalking right now. And she forces America to send a portal, send them back to the original one. They go to, I'm not going to even try to pronounce that mountain's name, but Wandacore or something like that. And she sets her up there, the place where the Darkhold is written on the walls. And she's about to extract her powers there. And now we are following Doctor Strange and Christine in what looks to be an incursed world. That's definitely not a word, but a world that's been incursioned. And again, let's look for Doctor Strange is the idea. So they're going to go look for their version of Doctor Strange. And he does exist there. And this is where we get the evil Doctor Strange. And he's got a third eye, and he's the one that's been like killing Doctor Strangers across the universe because he knows that none of them are happy, basically. And we get a brief fight here. This is the fight that is the music fight that we were referencing throughout the episode so far. Very inventive. I think people through, like, all audiences, I think, have been kind of talking about how that was a standout point of the film, on Twitter at least, I guess. So, I don't know. Do we want to talk a little bit more about that fight? I know we've all talked about how we thought it was inventive, but we can touch on this universe if we want here, if you guys want to.
Well, about the fight, I know a lot of people, like, for example, I saw this movie with my parents, and my parents were just giggling this whole thing. They were like, this is so absurd. And I guess that's not what they were looking for in this movie. But I was like, fuck yeah, this is so absurd. I love this. This is what I wanted out of this movie. This is absolutely ridiculous and insane, and it would only happen in a comic book. Like, this is one of the moments in the Marvel Cinematic Universe where it really feels like a comic book come to life. Prior to that, I think the visuals of the encouraged world look amazing. And I was totally waiting for that. So I did see one trailer, and I was totally waiting for that things just got out of hand line that we did not get. I hate that Marvel does that. I love that Marvel does that. And I hate that they do that at the same time where they like put shit in the trailers that's not in the movie just to intentionally mislead you. But overall, I thought this was a fantastic sequence.
I love the visuals too, Gardner. I thought it was so cool. The sanctum that they find the evil Doctor Strange in, it was giving very A Series of Unfortunate Events. Like, did you guys ever see the really crappy movie from like the early 2000s? That's what it reminded me of, when the whole back of the house gets like knocked off into the onto the cliff for like the ocean because it was on a cliff. I thought it was really, really cool with the long staircase.
I saw The Masterpiece starring Jim Carrey.
Oh, no, not this, not the show. Oh, wait, no. Oh, you're making a joke? You're making a joke? Okay.
No, I know. I saw the Jim Carrey Masterpiece. I didn't see any crappy version that they made, though. I don't know what movie we're talking about here, but
right over my head. No, it just, I guess I was reading the books, and they were like all each individual books, and they try to shove a bunch of them together, and I was like, what the heck is going on? So that's why I think that.
No, I was very disappointed at the time too, as a big Lemony Snicket guy. I was disappointed then, but I think in hindsight, his performance was really good, actually.
No, I agree.
I liked this sequence where they visit the encouraged world. It gave me Rick and Morty vibes, where, you know, we get a peek into like the fallout from the actions of different characters in different realities, which I think will be, hopefully we get to see more of that as they continue to expand on the multiverse. For example, like what we talked about with the Illuminati being killed in that reality, what now happens with, you know, surely like there's some barrier that they like were holding, that the Illuminati was there to like hold at bay, that's not going to take over. So I thought getting a glimpse into this reality with, I think they call him Sinister Strange, apparently is what he's cast as or whatever. But I thought it, yeah, I was also disappointed, Gardner, that they didn't do the line, you know, where he talks about how things have gotten out of hand. I thought the music fight was, I was not as big a fan of that as I guess other people. I didn't realize it was so popular. I was like, it seems a little, it was definitely innovative. I wouldn't have thought of it, but it fell a little flat in terms of like the things that they could have done with it. And this is what I was thinking about also when you were talking, Duncan, is when Doctor Strange, she's asking why she should trust him. And Charles Xavier kind of volunteers. He's like, I think this Strange is different. And this is one of the main problems that I had with this movie, was like, I felt like it relied too much on previous iterations of Doctor Strange, which I guess is fine. You know what I mean? If you've seen all of them, which I have, you kind of know how he's been humbled, right? How this character has maybe not uniquely so, but I guess so, in the multiverse of Doctor Strange, this one has been like uniquely, you know, he loses his ability to be a doctor. He shows his selflessness when he traps himself in with Dormammu. A bunch of different times where we've seen this Doctor Strange kind of look his arrogance in the face and realize that it's not serving the greater good and having to like discard it. But it didn't feel like these characters, like, you know, that these characters don't know that, you know what I mean? Like, why do they trust him? Especially when they have direct experience with Doctor Strange making, you know, I'm sure kind of the same promises and then resulting in like these cataclysmic consequences that we see in the encouraged reality. I'm going to keep saying it. I don't care if it's a word or not. It sounds good. But yeah, you know, that was kind of, and they did have the line earlier in the movie talking about with that short conversation with the other doctor, you know what I mean? Where the doctor's like, is this the only play we had? He's like, yeah, I think so. But it's like, I felt like we needed something more to like show how Doctor Strange has changed and why he's unique, as opposed to just a bunch of characters being like, you know what? I trust you. You're not the one that I know. It felt like the only reason that they trusted him. So I thought that was another missed opportunity, but I still enjoyed it.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point for sure. I hadn't thought about it, but now that you bring it up, I definitely think that's a fair point. So once he defeats the evil Doctor Strange, we have Christine coming in. We do have another semi-horror element of the death of the evil Doctor Strange, where he is impaled by the fence, which is pretty cool. Again, it's not like gore, it's not horror, but it's got elements of those things, and it's pushing it more than other Marvel movies. It's not, even people have said, it's not even pushing the bounds of PG-13 necessarily, but it is more in that tone than it is, than other Marvel movies have been.
It's just more graphic than other Marvel movies have been. Like you said, it's not gory. It's not too explicit. It's just they pull the camera, you know, 20 feet further back than they usually would to show something like that. And I think it works great.
Yeah. And after this, we get him with the Darkhold, and he is going to dreamwalk. And here's another one of those lines that was very forced, in my opinion, where she was like, well, don't you have to be alive in that universe or whatever? And it was like, you only had her say alive because he has to say, well, who said I have to be living? And it's like, you wouldn't have said that.
She says, doesn't there have to be another version of you living in that universe? And he goes, who said they have to be alive? And he like raises his eyebrow. That was awesome, dude. That was like the B-movie camp shit that I was into, dude. I was like, oh, yeah, that's the guy who made Evil Dead, dude.
I mean, I don't know if I think that. I think that that's not as self-aware as you're necessarily giving it credit for. But there was one also that I did think was self-aware, where he said to the demons once he's in there, he said to Wanda once he's in the dead body, once he's in the zombie Doctor Strange, he's like, it's going to take more than killing me to kill me this time. And then it cuts to Christine looking at him like, did you just fucking say that? Like, and I thought that one was self-aware. So maybe they both are then. I'll give it the credit. Maybe I think that potentially it was written not self-aware, and then Sam Raimi filmed it self-aware, if that makes sense.
I just want to throw out there, I hated everything that had to do with zombie Doctor Strange. I thought it was the corniest shit I have ever seen. I could not stand when he was trying to give that motivational speech to America, and all you get is this close-up of this shitty looking zombie Doctor Strange. I'm not hating on the makeup, it just looked awful. And also, just to like throw in, how does his body rot that quickly? Like, that just didn't make sense to me. I wasn't expecting like the whole like true zombie look to pop up, but yeah, I couldn't get over that, because he's trying to motivate her to use her powers to like overcome this fear she has, and it's just him with half of a cheek. And I remember looking at Jalen in the theaters and actually saying, I can't watch this. I was cringing so bad.
I have one, and I'm just going to defend them real quick, because, and I could be wrong, I could be reaching here, but in that opening scene when he gets hit in the leg, you do see it's almost like acid running through his like body. decaying him right away. So I think when he was impaled, that kind of happened right away is my interpretation of it. And I'm just going to give them the leeway there. Like, I could be totally wrong. And like, your complaint is probably actually right. But I'm just giving, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt and say that that's like the canon that I'm putting in my head.
No, I totally see that. That's a fair point. I just assumed that they wanted to appeal to that horror aspect a bit more, but the acid kiss kind of makes sense. Or at least it's like a reason as to why they get to use that zombie part of it, right? It kind of plays into like the storyline better.
Yeah, like he was kind of shriveled when they look at him in the very beginning of the movie and like before they bury him. But I can understand why someone wouldn't like the zombie Doctor Strange. But I thought that shit fucking ruled. I was like, dude, this is awesome. We're going off the rails. This is the madness I was looking for. It's not all the way the madness I was looking for throughout the rest of the movie, but we got a taste of it here at the end. And it worked for me, man. It really worked for me. I loved the sequence of the souls of the damned and when he had to fight them off. And I think they said something. They were like, we will devour your soul or something like that. Like, I don't know. When this movie... instead of trying to straddle the line between B movie and blockbuster, when it just leaned into the B movie elements, that's when it really worked for me. That's why the third act is probably my favorite part.
I hope it doesn't come across that I hate horror movies, because I'm actually a really big fan of them. And I do like that stuff, but I just couldn't get past it. It just didn't do it for me. I didn't care for it. And I wish I could have, because like, I appreciate that stuff, but I can't believe they went full zombie with him. It just seemed a little cheesy to me.
Well, I actually kind of like that, because like Gardner was saying, it's madness, it's multiverse of madness. You're supposed to see stuff like that, like ridiculous stuff or off the walls crazy. So I think it definitely worked for the film specifically. Like other films maybe not, but this one I feel like just like the crazy bonkers ridiculous stuff going on worked for the theme that they were going for.
Yeah, I appreciated Undead Strange. I thought it was cool. I thought this stretch of the movie, I think someone said, I can't remember, I think it was Gardner talking about how the third act was like in what was awesome. This was the stretch of the movie where I felt like they really leaned into kind of the sinister nature of Doctor Strange. Cause like for me, I remember being a kid and like watching, you know, some of the animated Marvel stuff, and then seeing I can't remember what year it came out or like what the name of the movie was, but I remember seeing this animated feature about Doctor Strange, and I remember being a kid not being able to handle it. I was like, yo, this is like too intense. You know what I mean? Like it was pretty scary. And I think that is a lot truer to the nature of Doctor Strange, you know, dealing with like these insidious, like scary entities, like otherworldly beings. And so like the part where he's kind of bargaining with the souls of the damned to gain control of his other reality's body, I thought that was cool. And then I liked how they followed through on, you know, the consequences of doing that. Cause that's one thing that I felt like they haven't kind of been true to with Doctor Strange. It kind of feels like sometimes he just waves his hand around and there's like an orange shield comes up and it's kind of like parlor tricks and gimmicky. But in reality, I mean, at least in the comics, Doctor Strange is dealing with like dark entities. You know what I mean? A lot of the time he's like bargaining with, you know, these crazy beings to get to like use their power, as opposed to like having power for himself. So him having to do that to like get the job done, you know, step into a corpse basically and reanimate it felt genuine. And it was pretty bonkers the way it played out. So I appreciated it. And also there was the jump scare with one of the four like things. I don't know what they're called, but one of those, like the Scarlet Witch's protectors, it got me. I was like, oh shit. When it popped out, I was like, yo.
Same. Absolutely jumped out of my seat.
Yeah, it was scary. And like jump scare scary, but yeah.
Speaking on what Chris was saying, I kind of like how they finally started getting into like the darker aspect of Doctor Strange. And because like in the comics, it is, you know, sorcery, kind of like hellish in a way. So I like how they started finally moving him into that direction, because it'll, for future movies or Marvel projects, it'll set up like darker storylines like Ghost Rider or something like that. So I'm glad that they're finally getting into the sorcery and the darker stuff.
Yeah, and I loved the zombie Doctor Strange, and I loved the wings for the demon wings for sure. And just that visual, I was like whispering fuck yeah to myself for sure. And I thought it was interesting too. We're talking about like, oh, this is what we wanted to see in the multiverse movie. We wanted to see zombie Doctor Strange. And I totally agree. Like, I would like to see like Doctor Strange in a universe where humans evolved differently and everyone was more like primate or something like that. You know, like everyone had like hair all over them, for example. I don't know. Or they looked like aliens, for example. You know what I mean? Like something like that would be interesting. And I think in the multiverse you get stuff like that, but it's really interesting that this wasn't like a universe where everyone was zombies. It was a different thing. You know what I mean? It wasn't even that they were necessarily using the multiverse. Sure, he was in a different universe when he was doing it, and that's what gave him the ability to inhabit that body. But it wasn't necessarily using straightforward the avenue of the multiverse to give us zombie Doctor Strange. Like, they didn't give us straightforward versions of other characters, really, other than the Illuminati, in that sense. Like, we get that ponytail version at the beginning, and he makes the comment about somewhere out there, there's a version of me that's got a ponytail. Yada yada, get a quick laugh, move on. But seriously, like, that's one of the biggest divergences we get, is a ponytail or a third eye, which isn't even really a divergence by the end of the movie. So it's a complaint, I think, for sure. And this is one of the aspects where it's like, yeah, leading into that kind of stuff where we can see that. And I think most people are agreeing that the third act is strong, and definitely strong compared to other Marvel movies, and that the undead Doctor Strange, I think, worked for a lot of people as well. So from here, we get the final climax with Wanda and America, because America is freed instead of being killed and her power being absorbed by Doctor Strange, like Wong. Who I was like, Wong, dude, no, not you suggesting that. Come on. And Wong is like, take her powers, you have to, it's the only way. And he's like, you're right, it's the only way. And then does something else, you know, gets her out and tells her to believe in herself, and then dies. And she punches Wanda a couple times. And here's where, like, the first time at least I'm watching it and I'm like, okay, she still shouldn't be able to beat Wanda based on everything we've been able to be been told, right? And that was a complaint that someone I saw it with, who I think we're going to hear from in a little bit, actually, Nikki Piff, had after the movie, where he was like, well, she was supposed to be so strong, like why is she able to be beat at the end? And I was like, well, I don't think that she was beaten at the end necessarily. She was shown what she could accomplish, basically. Here's what you want, because she even says it. She's like I'm gonna give her what she wants, and she punches her into the universe where she can have her kids, and then she sees his reaction and she kind of gets her to like stop. And then I'm just gonna go through the rest of the events and we can talk about the entire finale of the movie. So she scares the kids and then decides, like, okay, I'm not going to do this, is consoled by that version of her in that universe, which I think is the same universe they were in before, because she's got a bump on her head as she's coming down the stairs before she gets thrown across. So I think that's a bump from the earlier fight, was my understanding, at least, because at first I was confused. I was like, why has she already got a bump on her head? I was like very confused, but I think it's the same universe, was my understanding. And so then that universe is Wanda, consoles our Wanda and is like, you know, they'll be loved, this, that, and the other. And she leaves and decides, all right, what I was doing is wrong. And it's a very quick flip, honestly, but it is a flip where she's like, and you understand where she's coming from. She's been shown the error of her ways and she buys into it. She's like, all right, we got to get rid of the Darkhold. She destroys it in all the universes. And then here's my question. Is she committing suicide here? Because Doctor Strange is like, no, at the end. Like, she didn't make it, is what he says to Christine. I believe it's Christine. Yes. And my first reaction after watching it was, she'd have to kill herself. And then someone else was like, no, I don't think she did kill herself. And I was like, I don't know. My reading of that is that she absolutely killed herself at the end of that. But I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts on just that final climax, how she is shown the error of her ways, and then her decision to get rid of the Darkhold, and does she actually kill herself?
Well, I definitely enjoy that a lot. I did think it was the motivational speech to America was a little cheesy, but it's definitely like following down basically the, how can I say it? The Marvel plot, normal, you know, movie plot for superhero movies. So I guess that makes sense. But I can see how, yeah, to people that haven't seen like WandaVision or anything else like that, with Wanda, the switch from, oh, I'm wrong, let me fix this, was a little quick, but that's kind of how it was in WandaVision as well. When at the end, spoiler alert, she had to get rid of the hex in order to free everybody, and also lost her kids and Vision. Well, fake Vision, but yeah. So it's just like how it shows how like mentally unstable she is in a way, to where like she's switching from good to bad over and over again, just because of all that grief that she carries. So I'm hoping like in the future she can, well, if she's alive, I hope, but in the future she just continues to like switch between good and bad, like depending on the situation.
Yeah, I thought this whole sequence was brilliant. I thought as they've demonstrated throughout the movie, she's like the most powerful being in the universe. You can't defeat her. You have to have her defeat herself. And I thought that was fantastic. I read it like you, Duncan. I read it as like she killed herself. But, you know, we did open up. The multiverse is becoming more and more a part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So I can see us getting a different version of Wanda. Maybe not Scarlet Witch, but, you know, maybe the one we saw in this movie, or a different one, to have Elizabeth Olsen keep appearing as this character, because I think everyone agrees she's fucking fantastic.
Yes, she can act her ass off. I loved her in this scene. I thought she was phenomenal. I don't think she's dead, though. I think the Scarlet Witch is dead, but I still think Wanda's in there. Professor X couldn't save her. We see her like in that little hole, like he's trying to pull her out because she's fully Scarlet Witch at this point. Like, the Darkhold has a hold on her, literally. So I think the Scarlet Witch is dead, but I don't think Wanda's dead. And I think we're going to see her in the future. But that's just my opinion. I think there's definitely room for us to get our Wanda back and not the one that we just saw.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Very reminiscent of X-Men The Last Stand for me, the end of that. It was like where, you know, we see Jean kind of willingly give up and let Wolverine kill her. It was kind of like that. I loved the acting from Elizabeth Olsen as, you know, the beaten, not the beaten mother in terms of like abuse or anything, but like weary and like, but still being able to empathize with her other self, you know, realizing the pain that she's going through, not having her kids, and like knowing, you know, I'm sure she understands. She's like, I don't know what I would do without my kids. So like, that was a cool thing to see. I'm glad that you guys confirmed the line too, because I didn't hear it. I didn't hear the like, know that they will be loved. But I thought that's what she said. And I thought that was a good little bow to wrap on it. The exchange between Strange and America was kind of, you know, like Max said, it was a little cheesy, but, you know, it was fine. I'm also super glad you brought up that scene when we get a peek inside Wanda's mind. And we see that, like, she's, you know, in the hole, kind of hiding from, like, trapped under the rubble, hiding from the Scarlet Witch, and seeing that they are kind of two distinct personalities within one body. I read it as, you know, the ending as Wanda killing herself. It felt a little quick, kind of like you guys said, the transition back to, like, okay, I'll kill myself. But again, it makes sense, because for Earth 616 Wanda, there's, like, two instances where, like, she's allowed her own wishes with the events in Westview and now wreaking havoc on the multiverse, where she's allowed her own self-interest to put lives at risk and then also end a lot of lives in this movie, you know. So we're kind of seeing like the full-fledged version of like what happens when Wanda tries to get what Wanda wants. And I think she like kind of reckons with that and is like, okay, I gotta atone for this and make sure that no one else can, you know, no other version of myself can fall prey to the same things. Because it didn't feel like, I was shocked that she was the villain, and it didn't feel like that's what Wanda wanted, and we see that it's not. So I appreciated kind of the similar endings, but like I said, yeah, it was definitely like super strong X-Men Last Stand vibes for me.
So there you have it. We have the end of the movie, and we have our resolution, which leads America to Kamar-Taj to begin practicing sorcery with the sorcerers. And we see Strange peace out from there. She's like, gives him an awkward goodbye, like a hey, what's up, like very good teenage acting, like very like well portrayed of like an uncomfortable teenager wanting to like not let him leave and just like say something before he goes, tell her about the sparks that she made, even though we know that she's doing shit job already, like Wong's bitching about her or no, sorry, Doctor Strange is bitching about her to Wong, who's like, yeah, she's just like you. We get the bow from Strange to Wong, which is cool. Like, he had been bitching about that the entire time, about its ancient tradition. That was a running bit that I liked when the second time when he got bowed to, when he looked at me, he was like, see, it's an ancient tradition. Like, I'm telling you, man. Like, I'm not making this up. And I like, laughed the second time for sure. And we have, after that, we get the final shot is him walking out, like, all la-di-da, happy out of his residence. And he starts getting this pain, busts out onto the floor. He's in such pain. And then out of his head comes the third eye, which I'm sure is something from the comics. It's not something I'm familiar with, but we obviously had already been introduced that in this movie with the evil Doctor Strange. And then I'm just going to, before we run through those real quick, that last couple beats, I'm going to say what happens in the post and mid credit scenes so that we can all touch on that before we get into our final thoughts and ratings. So in the mid credit scenes, there's a Doctor Strange-like character. I think that the character's last name actually is Strange as well, from what I understand. But it's played by Charlize Theron. And she comes and she's like, you created an incursion, or a version of you created an incursion, and we're going to fix that. She like rips a hole in reality, and she takes him to, I believe it's called the Dark Dimension, is my understanding of it from what I've read. And she's like, unless you're scared. And he's like, no. And he takes his like thing off and it turns into his cape. And he has his thing on, his outfit on now. And he's ready to go. And he busts out his third eye and they jump in there. And that's the mid-credit scene. And then the post-credit scene is Bruce Campbell. And he gets finally, the Doctor Strange spell is done. And he stops like hitting himself or whatever it is. And he's like, it's over, and that's it. And you know, I appreciated that. I think a lot of people appreciated getting more Bruce Campbell, so that was cool. So I'll let you guys talk about those final beats of the movie as well as the mid and post credit scenes, and then we'll get into our final thoughts and ratings.
Okay, yeah, that's Clea in the comic. She's Doctor Strange's like love interest. They end up getting married, and I thought that was a cool nod. I'm definitely excited to see what happens, and I, like I said earlier, I appreciated the follow through on his earlier sacrifice. You know what I mean? Like, not just shoving that under the rug of like, when the demons are like, yo, there's going to be consequences for your soul for eternity if you do this. And he's like, well, I got to do it. And then he does it. And you're like, it seemed like the Marvel way, you know, in movies past might've been to just chalk it up to something, some other reason why this Strange was unique. But then, you know, when he does fall victim to whatever the Darkhold did to him, I appreciated it. And I hope they, you know, discuss it at least, because we see him, it happens to him just suddenly, and he is in pain on the ground. And then clearly he's like mastered whatever this new addition to him is. So I hope that they revisit that and explain, you know, we get more explanation about it, but I'm all in on wherever they're headed.
Yeah, I definitely enjoy like the closing part of the movie. It kind of showed like his growth as basically like, instead of him just being Doctor Strange, he's trying to, was hinting towards like getting over the Christine thing and starting to like actually live a life. Like, yes, he was going through the motions of being Doctor Strange, but he wasn't actually living. And I guess like hopefully in future projects it has like a play or shows like the struggle between him having a normal life and the consequences of what happened in the movie of him using the Darkhold.
Yeah, I thought the post-credit scenes are really cool. I love that they brought back his third eye. I can't wait to see what happens there. I do think there was a missed opportunity with the very last one. And this is not, to quote you, Gardner, this is not an original thought. I saw this somewhere online. It may have been like a review recap video I saw earlier. But I think they had a missed opportunity. I agreed with this person. I think there was a missed opportunity for the very last one because we already had Bruce Campbell's cameo, right? We didn't need like another. I mean, I think it was cool to like play on the fact that it had been 3 weeks or 2 weeks. I forget how long Doctor Strange said it would last, but they already introduced the idea of Reed Richards. So I think it would have been cool if they had like, this is what this person said, and I agreed, like if there had been like a Baxter building coming soon or something like that, you know, just to further tease, as Marvel always does, like the next project, even if it's like years in the future. or just something really cool where everyone would have been like Fantastic Four, like love that. But no, I thought they were pretty good, and I'm excited to see what comes in the future.
I can't really add anything else to what you guys have said already, except I love Charlize Theron, and I'm excited to see more of her.
I just wanted to jump in and say I was expecting a Kang nod. Now that you said that, Mac, but like the second one, it was a missed opportunity. I was the entire time I was like, are they gonna, you know, hint at Kang the Conqueror? But they didn't. I mean, but it's fun, you know. But it seemed like this is where they would have done it, you know, some sort of like they would have gone kind of like I said, that Rick and Morty thing. They like we peek in. In a second post-credit scene, we peek in on like the consequences of their actions. So like in the reality where the Illuminati is murdered, maybe they peek in and then we see Kang coming in like, thank God somebody got rid of these people for me. You know what I mean? Or something like that. That would have been cool.
Or even like connecting Moon Knight in some way. I think that would have been so sick if they had somehow connected it to the show, because and I know we talked about this last week on the Moon Knight episode, but we all agree that it was very separate from the rest of Marvel in a lot of ways. So it would have been nice to see them using a post-credit scene to kind of introduce him into the MCU in some kind of way. Just something like that. I think that would have been really cool.
Yeah, totally. So now that we've gone through everything, all the way from the first scene to the post-credit scene, we can give our final thoughts and our ratings of Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. Jalen, I'm going to kick it to you first. You get to tell us what your final thoughts are and give us a rating out of 100.
Yeah, so for the movie, my final thoughts, I think after like having this conversation with you guys, I definitely like started to appreciate the movie a little bit more. I went in there with higher expectations, but now I think I'm going to have to go back and rewatch it and take it for what it is instead of, you know, hoping and yearning for more multiversal craziness. But out of 100, I would give it, I would say 80 Darkholds.
Awesome. Very fair. Up next, we're going to go with Mac. What are your final thoughts and your rating?
Final thoughts after this conversation. I think you guys made me open my eyes a little bit more. I feel like maybe I was a little too harsh in the beginning. I did rate it on Letterboxd with 2.5 stars, which like now I'm feeling a little guilty. But I think I definitely need a rewatch of it. And I think that I let my expectations or what I assumed was going to happen kind of guide me a little bit. And I shouldn't have done that. But I do think the issues and complaints that I have are valid, in my opinion. I think you guys came up with great counter arguments, but my overall rating, I would say 70 pizza balls out of 100.
Chris, I told you that someone was going to take my unit before. Told you I was worried about that.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It's okay. It's part of the game. So, Chris, what are your final thoughts and your rating?
I feel bad. I'm going to steal your joke. My final thoughts are, I thought it was a great tonal departure from other Marvel movies. I thought besides the first act, you know, at every turn, they subverted and exceeded my expectations. There was a lot of promotional content for this movie, and I felt like they were giving a lot away. But actually seeing the movie, they did a great job at not putting out, you know, just another generic or like filler piece. I enjoyed it a lot. My only, you know, problems with it were like, was that it didn't feel like it did a lot for the character Doctor Strange, but I think that is kind of nitpicky, honestly, given how much he's been in Marvel stuff to date. So, you know, I thought it was a very solid entry, and I'm excited for where they go next. My final rating would be 87 Charles Xavier's. I barely know her.
Hell yeah. I love it. I fucking love it. So, Gardner, that leaves you. What are your final thoughts and your rating?
So, overall, I mean, like I said in the beginning, there was a lot I really enjoyed about this movie. I still think that the pacing was inconsistent. I think that there were parts of it that just felt a little haphazard. But the parts of it that I liked, I really, really liked. Like, they really, really worked for me. And I know that I said after we first watched it, I called it the multiverse of midness. And that's a little harsh. I don't think it was really mid. I think it was a little bit above mid. This is still better than 80% of the DC movies that are out there, not to mention the TV shows. But I think overall, this is a fun departure from the other Marvel movies, but it didn't go far enough for me. I wanted more madness overall. And for that reason, I'm giving Doctor Strange 2 74 reflections out of 100.
All right. So I've talked about it. I think that what Raimi did was good. And when he was allowed to show his own style, that was good. But it does suffer from certain Marvel storytelling aspects that bring it down a little bit. Overall, I think the visuals are good. Not as much, though, as it could do, I still think. Like, it's Doctor Strange. He can do crazy stuff, so you can always go further, I think. And same with the idea, the concept of the multiverse. They didn't push that far enough, I think. And not just necessarily with cameos, but just with what you can do with that. So I've talked about it. I'm going to give it 80 forehead eyes out of 100. And that will conclude our discussion, the five of us, of Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. But we're going to be joined right now by another special guest, Nikki Piff, who I saw the movie with, who hasn't seen any of the TV shows, so that includes WandaVision, and we're going to hear his thoughts and his rating of the movie. We are joined now by friend of the pod and recurring guest, Nikki Piff, Nicholas Piffalus Chisano. Thanks for joining us, Nick, here on GDT.
Thanks for having me.
We love to hear your insight, dude, so glad to have you here. I've already referenced it in the episode, but we saw it together on Friday, not exactly opening night, but the day after. And I want to talk a little bit about our theater experience and your experience as a viewer who hasn't seen any of the Marvel shows, I'm pretty sure, which includes WandaVision.
Mm-hmm.
So first, let's start by saying, what did you think of the plot of the movie, and were you confused because you haven't seen the shows?
Confused about the plot? Not really, because it was pretty straightforward. It was just this woman just wants to be a mother and there was someone standing in her way and she was doing whatever she could to get what she wanted. As a plot, I didn't think it was confusing, but as the movie went on and on, they went to these different multiverses and she was controlling this person's body while also in that other world. That's the part that confused me the most, was how they were able to control each other's bodies in different worlds, in a sense. So I guess me not seeing those shows and not being a diehard Marvel fan, that's what confused me the most. But the actual plot itself was pretty straightforward, I thought.
So did you like the story, other than the parts like, you know, jumping across the universe and stuff like that were a little bit confusing? Did you think the story was interesting, at least? Or I know you said that you liked Spider-Man No Way Home, for example, better. But yeah. were you overall like pleased with the general story of it?
Yeah, I definitely was pleased with the story of it. Yeah, again, it was just trying to keep up with it. That was the main struggle I had in the movie, was trying to connect all these plot points with really no prior knowledge. So it was kind of hard. But you filled me in when we were on the ride home. So it made a lot more sense after the movie, obviously. But yeah.
All right, just a few more questions. Starting with the cameo we got of the Illuminati. We had Professor X, we had Mordo, we had a different version of Captain Marvel, who was Maria Rambeau instead of, I'm actually forgetting who Brie Larson's, what her Captain Marvel's name is right now. But anyway, we had a different version of Captain Marvel. We had Mr. Fantastic, we had Black Bolt, and we also had, I feel like I'm forgetting someone, but what did you think about those cameos? And specifically, I know we talked about Mr. Fantastic.
I mean, it was all right, to say the least. I don't know. When you go to a Marvel movie, you kind of expect those big cameos. And I know we went in to the movie not expecting to have them. But the ones that they had this one were pretty weak, I thought. I thought the Illuminati scene was the cool part about it is when Wanda came in and destroyed everything. Like, I know we talked about Mr. Fantastic. We thought his performance was pretty bad. His lines were not well written. I thought just the way he talked didn't seem very fluid to the movie. He seemed very out of place. The other superheroes, I don't know, they were kind of just there for me. That one guy couldn't speak, so he was kind of just in there. He was weak, and that's what we went with. It was just a weak scene, I thought.
No, I can totally agree with you, and obviously I have said this. I do not like John Krasinski as Mr. Fantastic at all, so we definitely are on the same page.
You equate that to only seeing him as Jim from The Office, or just as an actor, you don't see him playing a role that well?
I think it's both, honestly. I don't think he's that good of an actor also. But for me, it is, like I said earlier on the podcast, actually. I know you weren't here for this, but you'll be able to listen to it afterwards. I said that for me as a fan of The Office, you know, when it was coming out, so I was like really into it. It is a little bit like I see him as typecast, as Jim. But it's also like I don't think he's that great at acting in other things. And I don't think he's like this action hero either. You know, like he's tried to do like the Jack Ryan stuff. Yeah. And also, I don't know. So I made this point earlier. I don't think he looks, and this is kind of mean, I don't think he looks like a smart guy. No. You know, he doesn't look like the smartest man in the universe, which is what he's supposed to be. Reed Richards, right? Like, I don't know. That might be mean to John Krasinski.
Giant head.
Yeah, exactly, dude. I don't know. Yeah. But so I think we're all kind of on the same page. I definitely agree with your evaluation of that cameo scene. And we were, like I said, and you said, not expecting them. We knew going in, which I think is a good expectation to have, like not to temper your expectations. But another thing I wanted to ask was people have talked about the horror elements and we struggled. We didn't want to say gore because it's not necessarily gore, but it's implied gore and stuff like that. Like it's not like it shouldn't be R. No one's saying that. But it is, for a Marvel movie, a little more, like, horror aspect. You know, it's like it's got more of a horror aspect to it. So what did you think about that? And do you have any, like, scenes that you would, like, point to?
Well, obviously the big scene is when you kind of really don't see it in Marvel movies. When he comes back from the dead and you're basically looking at a dead guy for at least 15, 20 minutes.
Right.
I did like it a little bit better with the horror aspect to it, because a lot of the Marvel movies that I've seen recently, you'll get the corny, cheesy line, stuff like that. This one still had like the sarcastic, funny line, stuff like that, but they kind of drifted away from the corny, cheesy stuff and almost felt more, I don't say more like a DC movie, but kind of flirting with that in between, which I think they could do a lot more movies like that. And I think they'll grow their audience like that.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, and I think that it was well done. We shouted out Sam Raimi. I know you're not a Sam Raimi fan, but not like the saying that you don't like his work. You're just not really aware of like what he does and whatever. But have you seen Evil Dead or Evil Dead 2?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, no, I didn't think you would have, but I was just curious. But you've seen the Spider-Man movies, right? So he did those ones, and I told you that afterwards. And I think that there are some aspects in those of the horror elements as well. Like everyone's been pointing on Twitter to the Doc Ock scene when he is on the operating table and comes back to life. And that's very horror in the Spider-Man 2 movie. So Raimi's known for that stuff. And I just wanted to bring it up. I'm glad I liked your insight here as someone who hasn't, like I said, seen the Marvel shows, you know, someone who's not going out to see every movie either. You know, you're not like, you don't have the AMC pass like me and the Sunday Movie Squad boys do. So you're like more selective with what movies you'll see. So it's interesting to get that perspective on it. So thank you for joining us.
You're very welcome.
And it's time to put your money where your mouth is and tell us what your rating of Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness is out of 100.
It was a pretty good movie, but when you go into a Marvel movie, I feel like you expect a little bit more, like you'll feel something more when you leave. So I'll give it a 67 Americas because I like the girl.
Nice, nice. And I'm glad because I actually thought about using that as my unit, and I'm glad that I didn't because then, you know, you would have been doubling down on it, but no one used that as our unit. So
we talked about it and we both said it.
Yeah, I know. We were talking about it afterwards. It was funny. It did. We said that we said in our ride home that it was funny, like whenever he was saying America and then he would like talk to her, it like almost felt like he was talking to the audience because like we're America, you know? So it was funny. We do know that that's a character from the comics, obviously, so that's why they named her that. But it is, you know, it was funny. There was moments of that. And I think I like that you mentioned the jokes and cheesiness of it, because like I think this movie we mentioned does a little bit of a satire with it where they know that they're cheesy because Sam Raimi knows and he's kind of like making fun of it almost in points. So yeah, good rating, fair rating.
I was gonna say, do you know what her role is gonna be in future stuff? Like, have they said anything about that?
They may have, I don't know, but you have to imagine that there's gonna be something. We actually speculated that there would be maybe a show or a movie about her trying to find her mom's.
Okay.
Because we mentioned that they kind of just left that. And like Dr. Strange was like, well, even that moment led you here to this moment. And I was like, well, motherfucker, I don't want to be here. I want my mom's.
It's like 30 seconds. Oh, by the way, you're an abandoned child. Good luck.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, that was a good thing that happened to you, America. No, it wasn't.
Yeah.
There's got to be some resolution there. So I would think that they're not going to get rid of her. I thought she was a good actor.
I did too. I would think if they did something like that, it would be better off as a TV show that would break it up and give different plot points for that. Because I feel like a 2-hour movie wouldn't feel you satisfied for her story.
I totally agree. I think said earlier that I mentioned like TV show is what I would think it would be. But it could be a movie as well. But I think that TV show would be more satisfying. And I could just see it being a Disney Plus. Like, this seems like a Disney Plus story. You know what I mean? Like, not one that's going to get you $1 billion, maybe, like these Spider-Man and Endgame movies.
Yeah, but they'll know that going into it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people will like her after this. I mean, it seemed like people were into it. I know we saw it with an audience that included a bunch of kids that I was mentioning earlier, that it was very cool to see them into it, like cheering for Wong and cheering for, who else did they? They went crazy for something else. I forget.
Oh, they thought it was Captain America coming in.
That's why. Yeah, but they did go crazy for Captain Carter. I think that some of them liked that it was actually Captain Carter.
Yeah, but I think the initial shock was
Captain America.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the kids thought that someone was Spider-Man, and one of the other kids was like, who said Spider-Man? That kid's an idiot. And I was like, all right, there's a kid fight going on in the audience right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, we also had kids getting shushed by adults. That was fun.
I mean, for a group of 10-year-olds, I kind of expected that. They were tamer than I thought they would have been.
That's what I was saying, dude. Let the kids have a little bit of fun. Let the kids have a little bit of fun.
Because I remember when we were younger, I don't know if we talked all the time during the movies. I'm sure we've gotten shushed plenty of times when
we were asked by security multiple times to be quiet, or we would be asked to leave. For sure.
Yeah. So...
So kids are assholes about movies, but that was like not during, that was like we were being assholes and we were like 13 and like watching a horror movie and like, like making jokes during it. But these kids are watching the new Marvel movie on opening weekend. They should be able to be a little bit loud.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a different situation. Like, there's grown ass adults cheering and shitting their pants for Spider-Man coming on screen. Let the kids have a little bit of fun too.
Classic kid, like, couldn't hold in his excitement reaction.
Yeah.
Couldn't hold it in.
Yeah. But they were, I mean, you know, it is like they're kids, they're a little annoying, but that's what kids are. That's kind of the deal with them. But yeah. So that was our theater experience. That was Nick's thoughts as, like we said, someone who hasn't seen the shows, but who has seen most of the movies, if not all of them. I'm not sure if you've seen all of them, but I know that we see most of them together.
Yeah. At least in the last few years, we definitely have.
Yeah. And I'm not sure like if you've seen like the original Iron Man and that kind of stuff, but I'm sure you've seen like some of the Avengers and I'm sure that you've seen those. Yeah, right. So that's your perspective on it, and we love to have you on here for those, so we appreciate it. I hope that when the next one comes out, I believe it's Thor Love and Thunder, I hope you'll be sitting next to me in the theater with it, Nicky Piff.
Of course. That trailer looked interesting.
I think that movie's going to be fire.
Really? I thought it looked a little, I don't know, it just didn't grab me, the trailer. A lot of trailers don't grab me to begin with, but that one he was kind of just wanted to do his own thing, and then blah, 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 like some random crap will happen and I'll have to come save the day.
Well, I'm dragging your ass there anyway.
Yeah. No, I'll go. Of course, I'll go.
Yeah. All right. This has been the Nicky Piff Corner of the Marvel Podcasting Universe episodes. And we again thank you, Nick, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So there you go. That was the thoughts of Nicky Piff. And that was his rating as well. That concludes this episode
on Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. And that concludes this meeting of the Marvel movie and TV show Squad. So, like I said, get ready for next week's episode. That'll be on Tuesday. We'll be joining together again, the five of us, or I think all of us will be there, at least, for Iron Man, the first MCU movie. That's right, we're going through all of the MCU movies, and we're going to start with Iron Man, so that'll be out on Tuesday. So if you enjoyed the Marvel talk, get ready for that. Other than that, we also have our regular full-length episode releasing this Friday, where we have an interview with screenwriter Nick Assunto. And then on Monday, we'll continue our mini-series on Nostalgia, the GDT short film that we're working on. So get ready for all of those episodes. Stay tuned. Check out our back catalog of episodes as well. Remember, you can find us on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else that you listen to podcasts by searching the letters GDT and then subscribing to us. Once you subscribe to us, you'll never miss an episode, and you can also leave a nice 5-star review. If you really don't want to miss out on anything, be sure to follow us on our social media platforms. We are available on Twitter and Instagram at GoodDataPod and on Facebook at GDT Podcast. There, we'll post all of our links to our new episodes and give a nice description of what's going on in the episode so you know what you're about to listen to. That's all for this week, folks. We will talk to you again on Friday.
Thanks for tuning in, folks. We love you. We'll see you on the next one.
See you in the next universe.
And that was fun chatting it up with y'all.
Thanks, guys. We'll see you next time.